Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And welcome to our Thursday night edition of Elevated Places, Ask Dr. Ava. Today is the 30th of October 2014, and we are all still basking in the light of the sun that shone so brightly on the island of Jamaica, and particularly the people of Kingston, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, well, I was the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and pretty much the same voice, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his national representative, delivered a message to the people, not only of Jamaica, but of the Caribbean, and of course, all black people in the Western Hemisphere and around the world. And the effects of that message continue to reverberate throughout the Caribbean as well as here because of the profound nature of the message. It was not only spiritual and moral, but it was economic. It was strategic. And it was a call in the fullness of time to our people to unite together. I don't know any person who has done more than Minister Louis Farrakhan to awaken the black men and women in this hour to our deeply rooted connection to one another. The children of our slave masters have been so very effective in dividing us, not only black people here in America and in the Caribbean, being and giving us the idea that we are different people, but even within the black community here in the continental United States, there is a great deal of division, but that division is very superficial, and that division is manufactured by the enemy of our liberation. And we're going to talk tonight about the unity of black people. We are going to talk about leadership, true leadership, what it is and what a leader is. And we're going to address ourselves to the latest resurrection of the perpetual attack on Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with reference to the assassination of our brother, Malcolm X. This is an issue that continues to be resurrected. And if you look at the pattern and the timeline of the issue of Malcolm's assassination, it always becomes more prominent when Minister Farrakhan is out front in the public eye. Minister Farrakhan never stops working. He never stops giving every inch of his, every bit of his being, every hour and every minute of the day to our liberation. But he works both in front and behind the scenes. And when he is out in front and when the enemy is able to actually witness his work, and he doesn't hold back or concern himself with who's listening to what he's saying, then you always see, just as our people begin to recognize and understand that at the root of everything, we are one people, then here they come with this issue as a wedge between the Nation of Islam and the black community. And we have got to crush this thing once and for all. We can't just react to the slander. We have to now start to be more proactive in crushing this idea that the Nation of Islam is responsible for Malcolm X's death, when Malcolm X is, in fact, and was a product of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the way the enemy revises history, we better be very, very careful, because one of the things he is trying to do in all of this is make it seem as though Malcolm is a product of the U.S. government and white culture's educational system, as though they made him the influence that he was, rather than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because what made Malcolm the man that you still remember today is the fact that he was in the Nation of Islam. He was Malcolm X, the Malcolm that you respect, the Malcolm that excited black people with his incredible oratory, with his brilliant mind, the content of his message that gave him the passion that he had, that brought him up out of the deplorable condition he was in as an individual. That was the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. It's an assertion. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And so before we go any further, I am blessed to be joined again by our brilliant co-host here on Ask Dr. Ava edition of Elevated Places, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And Brother Terrence, first of all, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And I want, of course, you to open us up with your insight as to what is happening, not only around the Nation of Islam, but current events, because every day, every week, something new occurs to bear witness to the truth of the teachings.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, it's a couple of things that are going on that, you know, whether we are part of it or not, we have to be very much so aware of it. One, you know, we know November 4th, next Tuesday, is midterm elections. And reason why it's very important and very significant, because the talk is if we lose the, or if they lose the Senate to the Republicans, then there's the possible chance that impeachment will be brought against President Obama, which people are trying to stop. So, you know, it's an interesting thing that, you know, we are such a people that just moves with the hype. So when it was the 08 and 2012 presidential election, we came out in numbers, but it's always on the off season when we're not paying attention that the enemy takes power politically and changes the laws. So when we have this conversation about separation, this is why, because you can honestly see during the political times how leadership changes and how politics changes, and you think you have a freedom and you don't have a freedom, you doubt you had a right and you don't have a right. And that's why when you look at the flag of the Nation of Islam, you have freedom, justice, and equality, and the star represents justice. But one justice, that's God justice, and not the 50 stars or the 50 different states in the American flag. So that's going to be a very interesting turnout to see what happens and who has won on November the 5th. We just left, or we're still in Black College Homecoming month. where all of the universities are having homecoming, and you know, always represent my university. We call it GHO, Greatest Homecoming on Earth. But one of the things about it is to see the amount of people that flood homecomings and amount of money that's there, you realize how much money black people have and how much money it generates the economy of the city. But we need to continue to push the economic blueprint, so when black people are spending money frivolously, and there's a lot of alcohol that goes along, there's a lot of day parties and any kind of party, people are actually out there trying to make a dollar off of the hype of these ventures, that we need to make sure that we collect the dollar to actually build something for them, because after homecoming is over, black people are not left with money. Other people are left with money based off their travel, rental cars, hotels, and everything like that. And I say that because we're now going into the months of November, December, and January, when the majority of the country's wealth is made up in the Halloween, which is tomorrow, Thanksgiving, the Red Man Holocaust Day, and Xmas, that month or that day that deals nothing with Jesus, the Christ. And then we go into a New Year's resolution to buy stuff, to change stuff, to get gym memberships, to get off all the food that you ate, and we never resolve to do anything. But that's where people are going in the black. So November, December, and January are black months for businesses, because they go in the black and we go in the red. So we want to make sure that during these months that we give the gift of an economic blueprint and give into the way of that program. Also, some upcoming dates. Yourself will be in the wonderful city of Milwaukee on November the 8th doing a very powerful lecture there. So those that are in Milwaukee, look out for more information and details where Dr. Ava will be. I just don't have it on me now, but we will make sure that we give that to you as soon as possible. We want to thank Brother Student Minister Willie out of New Orleans that did a Man Up March this past Saturday in New Orleans, a Man Up March. And making sure that we are engaged in our communities, not just for the nation. We in the nation are doing things to empower the whole community and ultimately our whole country, because once we're better, the country is better. So we're always directly engaged in community activities. I did want to point out that we are struggling in our hip-hop community. It's a big struggle that we have some conscious music coming, but there's continuously, I would just have to say, ratchetness in the hip-hop music. But it was a very dynamic piece that came out that there's a whole conversation that could be around it. One of the latest artists out of New York that sounds like he's out of Atlanta, Bobby Smyrna, who closed down the latest hip-hop BET Hip-Hop Awards, he had just got released on social media. I don't know who it was for, but L.A. Reid and Epic Records, they show him doing a performance in front of them. I don't know if he had just got his deal signed or not, but it looked like a minstrel show. This black man dancing around to this music with all kind of profanity, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But if you looked in the audience of Epic Records, you saw a bunch of white women, white males, and a few black people that was listening to this black man that's putting out this rap music that's destroying our community. And you really kind of got a real good picture of these white people saying, yes, this is what we're going to market. This is what we're going to put out to your community. And you really saw a picture of who was in control and who's behind the scenes of a lot of our hip-hop artists that we think that is just that they got a good record deal and they were so good and they were so wonderful. But we really continue to see the destruction if people really watch the social media video clip of this young brother and how we've been manipulated, as the minister says, justifiable homicide and their plot to destroy in our communities. But that's all I have for now. Oh, I did want to say one last thing, just for the record. It may sound funny, but I am dead serious. Next Thursday, I may not be on the show because I will be in Blue Mountain Center in upstate New York, near Albany, New York, Blue Mountain. And I'm saying that because I'm going there for my job and I'm going to be around a lot of other folks. So if y'all don't hear me on the following show or hear any Facebook reports, just come looking for me in Blue Mountain, Center, upstate New York. That's where I'll be next Thursday. Next Thursday, traveling.
And will you be flying one of the baby planes? You don't have to answer. That's okay.
Well, you know, when I have to make
like
an exit from the retreat, and when I have to make a direct exit from the retreat, if it doesn't go my way, we will be making the mental call for a pickup.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Well, we appreciate that great report, and we're going to get into tonight's discussion. And I want to remind you, the callers and listeners, well, first of all, 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. And, of course, the callers are starting to queue up already. And also log in at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Before we get into tonight's discussion, and we have a special caller on the line tonight that I'm going to introduce shortly as we move into this very critical issue. But we are. I want to acknowledge the presence of our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, student minister of agriculture in the Nation of Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Ridgely, for being part of tonight's discussion. And
glad
we're
to be
going
here.
To. Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know that's right. I know that's right. And I don't think anything could be more exhilarating in this hour than being with Minister Farrakhan. I just can't imagine anything better. But, you know, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, black leaders have historically, if you look back in our history, and maybe it can help explain our condition right now, just if we listen to what Brother Terrence just ended with on the latest hip-hop success and these caricatures of the black man and woman who are being manufactured in the entertainment industry. And, of course, the slew of films and television shows that represent the black woman as this oversexed creature who doesn't even have the capacity to be a faithful wife and mother and will betray a good black man. You have roles like the Scandal TV show, the film that's out now, Addicted, and there are just countless examples where we are represented in that fashion. And then on the other hand, as Brother Terrence pointed out, you have the black man ranging from thug to clown, all of the homosexuality that's being pushed. The CEO of Apple announced today that he is a homosexual, and naturally he's being applauded and lauded and given just mad play, so many props, how awesome, how wonderful, you know, that he has announced this. And, you know, I want to know what happened to, you know, before we even go to Islam, which is our true religion, those of us who claim to be Christians, what happened to that? What happened to Christianity? Where are the black clergy? And as Minister Farrakhan has challenged them in their faith for the failure to provide spiritual and moral leadership, all of this killing that's going on in the black community with children shooting each other and blowing each other away, this is happening while we have a church on almost every corner of the black community. And, you know, if success was based on religion and having churches, we would be the Forbes 400. We would be the richest people in America right now, because that magazine just came out, by the way. And the 400 richest people in America together have assets in the neighborhood of $3 trillion. Michael Jordan did not make the list because he only has $1 billion.
Oh, wow.
113 billionaires did not make the list. Oprah is 292 of the on the 400 list. Oprah has $3 billion. These are net assets. Net assets. So we are back to what my husband calls the days of Robin Hood, the feudal system, you know, where you have a handful of people that own the whole country. And everybody else is out in the forest plucking dandelions trying to get a meal. And if we keep buying into this idea that America is a place where all you have to do is get your education, okay, and be a good boy and girl, you will make it. Nothing could be further from the truth, because simultaneously with the Forbes 400 list, oh, and by the way, it's topped off with Bill Gates. We're talking about individuals, people. We're talking about net assets. Bill Gates, who I have to say is one of the most generous in that circle, but Bill Gates has personal net worth of $81 billion. $81 billion. Okay? And so if you have less than $1.6 billion, you're not even going to be at the bottom of that list. So this is, as Minister Farrakhan has said, this is a plutocracy. This is not a democracy. And as you teach, Dr. Ridgely, this is capitalism, okay? Capitalism. And in truth, capitalism and democracy don't even go together. And I don't think there's anything in the U.S. Constitution about democracy, just like you don't see Christianity anywhere in the Bible. But just to get off my box so we can move into this discussion, open the line with our guests, the point that I wanted to get to is that we are lying to our children when we tell them, get your education, and you will be successful. Now, this latest study that had came out simultaneously, and by next week I'll have it, the site for it, but the study demonstrates what we all knew but didn't have the empirical evidence, that America's no different than the old European monarchies. Whatever social and economic class you were born in, the probability is 99% you're going to die in it. Okay? There are always what they call outliers. There are always exceptions to every rule. You know, for example, genetically, men are taller than women, but there are some women who are taller than some men. Okay, so you can say, well, Oprah has $3 billion, but that's an aberration. The overwhelming majority of people, white and black, in America, whatever social class you came out the womb in, no matter how many degrees you get, no matter how good you behave, you are going to stay there. Now, conversely, if you are born wealthy, no matter how rotten you are, no matter how immoral you are, no matter what kind of criminal or a sexual predator or whatever you become, you are going to remain wealthy. That is because the wealthy class uses its wealth to put systems in place to make sure they keep it.
That's right.
And to make sure you and I don't get it. So I just had to put that out there as we go into this, because the question is leadership. Are we mistaken when we just call everybody a leader? Is somebody a leader because they have a TV show? Am I a leader because I have Blog Talk Radio? I'm on Blog Talk Radio and I'm talking. Does that make me a leader? Because I speak well? Are you a leader because you look good? Are you a leader because you have you wrote a book or you have a hit song, or because you got elected to an office? You know, we have to come to terms with how reality operates, and we can't do that unless we know God.
That's right.
Because he's the only reality. And historically, what brought us from the bottom of slave ships up to where by the mid-60s we were making progress was black leadership that was spiritually driven.
Mm.
Even going all the way back to Denmark Vesey and Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, these were people, Sojourner Truth, these were people that were prophets. They were visionaries. They were inspired by God. They heard God talk to them. Not whether it was his voice or whether it was in their mind, but they were spiritually driven. These were not people that went and borrowed money from the enemy to run for an office. These were not people that collected a check from a plantation owner and read a script to slaves that the white man gave them to read. These were spiritual people. And all of our leaders who were effective leaders were spiritual people.
Right.
That's right.
Even the unnamed soldiers in the civil rights movement, you know, the church was the center of the civil rights struggle.
That's right.
Not a restaurant or a nightclub or a golf course. We met at the church.
That's right.
So I'm leading that to say that Minister Farrakhan is a spiritual man. He is not a politician. He is not an entertainer. He walked away from his incredible skill as a singer and musician where he could have made all kinds of money because he was inspired by Allah through his teacher, who he names to this day every time he gets up, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a grandson of a Baptist preacher, a man who grew up with the Bible, a man who studied the Bible. I'm talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and a man who was looking for the Savior. And when he met him, he knew him because he had read of his characteristics in the Bible. And so maybe one of our problems is we're following entertainers, athletes, and politicians, and television and radio journalists now instead of men and women of God. And so maybe that's how we're able to be led by the white man into fighting with each other over who assassinated Malcolm. As though the white man was his friend. As though the white man produced Malcolm, seriously.
Right.
That all that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the nation invested in his development, that we have never, since our inception, allowed the possession or use of weapons, especially firearms, but for a moment we just lost it and we took out our own product. That if, according to white people, that the nation was put on the public platform because of the oratorical skills of Malcolm X.
That's right.
Well, we're not like them. We don't take out the best that we put forward like they do, like they assassinate their presidents all the time.
That's right.
And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you look at it, the presidents that they assassinated, starting with McKinley, starting with Abraham Lincoln to McKinley to John F. Kennedy, okay, these are all presidents who either passed laws or policies or demonstrated an affinity towards the general basic rights of black people, and they were assassinated.
That's right.
So with that, we're gonna go into this discussion, and I want to open up the panel. We actually are blessed tonight to be joined by a brother who has been a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for more than a half a century, for 55 years, and this brother is currently a student minister in the west side of Chicago at Mosque Number 2B, and I'm talking about Brother Ibrahim Muhammad. Brother Ibrahim Muhammad has been to Mecca twice, and when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made his decision to begin to rebuild the Nation of Islam, another characteristic of a leader, that he decided, because leaders are decisive, they make a move toward the fulfillment of a mission, whether it is popular or not. And so Minister
That's
Louis
right.
Farrakhan, despite the prevalent mind in America of the idea that it would be good to erase the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from history, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan decided to rebuild the Nation of Islam, and when he started, it was in the basement of Brother Ibrahim Muhammad. Brother Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum, beloved, and welcome to Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, my beloved sister Ava, my most loved minister, second only to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm deeply honored to be on this program with you.
Well, we are honored to have you, sir.
And I'm just anxious to participate. And may I speak, or are you ready?
Yes, sir. What I want to do is have Dr. Ridgely gives some opening remarks, and then I'm going to come back to you to give some, and then we're going to go to the phones and get the callers' views. And,
thank
of course,
you.
This forum is it's wide open. The callers know they can come from any perspective they wish, because this is a forum. It is not a single individual. So, Brother Dr. Ridgely, we're going to get your opening remarks, and then we're going to go back to Brother Ibrahim, and then to the callers, and of course the panel is always able, Brother Ibrahim, to give their insight.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, Assalamu alaikum. I'm not going to be long. I just want to say two things. Number one, I first learned about the Nation of Islam by reading the autobiography of Malcolm X in 1966. When I was in high school, okay, and eventually through that, I learned about the nation, and I joined the Nation of Islam in 71. When the nation fell, and the Minister Farrakhan started it back, it was really because of them bringing back Malcolm again in 1991, resurrecting him to fight the minister from death through the movie, that I came back into the nation to help Minister Farrakhan, all because of Malcolm. I've studied this a lot, so I'm not going to say a lot. I'm just going to listen, because this is a very, very important thing that is going on. This is divine, this whole process. So I'm just going to listen and chime in when I need to. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Well, alaikum salam. And you know, you just made me recall. Let me say to the listeners and callers and those who logged in, what is giving impetus to tonight's discussion is the airing 2 weeks ago on TV One of a documentary on the program that is entitled Celebrity Crime Files. That's a weekly program. I know it comes on at least weekly on TV One. And on this particular episode, the subject was the assassinations of Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr. It's a one-hour show, and so approximately, if you allow for commercials, let's say about 15 minutes was allotted to each of these assassinations. And the coverage consisted of actual film clips, interviews, and reenactments by actors of certain aspects of these assassinations. And that's what gave rise to this show, because what I witnessed was the same slander that has been leveled at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, and the nation, now going into a half century. And those same slanderous claims came up and brought this to bear all over again. And so every few years, as I pointed out earlier in the program, particularly when they see the minister making serious inroads with certain segments of the black community, and in this case, having the audacity to go into the Caribbean, to Kingston, Jamaica, to take the Nation of Islam with him, to boost the economy in Kingston, to allow the people to come and hear him without any fees being assessed, no tickets, no charity was collected. They were given the lecture, copies of the lecture without charge as a gift, and free copies of the monumental work, Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. Okay? That's why we're talking about this tonight. Not because we're bringing it up again, but because the enemies of the liberation of black people have put it out there again. And you know, our people right now are not reading. They're not studying. They don't analyze things. Everything is visual and the most superficial processing of information is taking place. Okay. So, Brother Ibrahim, we're going to start with you. Just give us a few minutes of some insight from your perspective in terms of the atmosphere. You have been in the Nation of Islam for more than half a century. And so we definitely value your viewpoint.
Well, I believe I would like to start off with giving you a little background on myself, if you don't mind. It would just take about a minute. I joined the Nation of Islam at the tender age of 13 years old, and I was inspired. It's interesting, by Malcolm X, and I loved Malcolm as many of us did and many of us do today. I joined the Nation in 1959 at the age of 13. Malcolm, Minister Malcolm X, who still remains my brother, he helped me to understand and ultimately introduced me to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. In my short time as a minister, Allah bless me, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan, to establish, to build 8 temples from the ground up. And as was mentioned earlier, the first study group, the first temple in the nation, in the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam, it basically started in the basement of my home on the south side of Chicago. I was appointed minister initially by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, at the very young age of 21 years old, and I was the first minister who was given the honor of being sent overseas, abroad, to to represent the Nation of Islam as a minister. In other words, I was assigned a country, Guyana, South America. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself selected me before he returned to Allah, not died, but before he returned to Allah, where he is, in fact, alive today. But the orders were written, and it was already set as late as 1975, early 1975, for me to go to Guyana, South America, with the explicit order from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to teach and to share the teachings and the inspiration that I got from him to the Guyanese Muslim community. And as we all know, in closing, that we had some historical events take place, and Imam Waruddin Muhammad became the leader of the Nation of Islam, and the order that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had already written, the Imam Waruddin Muhammad gave me that order. And even though the nation was going through a rapid change, I submitted because that was the order that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had personally given me. So I went from Chicago to South America, to Guyana, to the city of Georgetown and Linden, and we built two mosques there. And in the year 1976, interesting, July 4th, I met with Imam Waruddin Muhammad when he completed his Caribbean tour, where he was visiting various mosques across, you know, in South America and in the Caribbean. And when we met in South America, in Guyana, I made it known to him that I was resigning my post as the minister there because I could no longer serve in the Nation of Islam under his direction.
Yes, sir.
And that, in closing, he stated to me, brother, Allah will settle the differences between brothers. It's right here in the Quran. And I said very respectfully to him, in the presidential palace, in fact, I said to him, brother Imam, Allah has already settled this difference. Point number 12, we believe that Allah appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, July 1930. We further believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, your father, is the messenger of Allah. I don't believe in a mystery God, and I believe that you're moving contrary to the direction of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the mission that I was given personally by him in the country of South America. So respectfully, I resign, and I will return back to Chicago immediately, and I will, with the help of Allah, I will help to restore the Nation of Islam to
its glory.
Sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope I didn't go too far. Too long.
It's fine because this is history. This is history that we need to know for the continuity. The knowledge of this helps strengthen the continuity of what Allah has blessed us with.
That's right.
By having the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we need to know that period of time where the nation looked as though it had vanished from the earth, what was happening during that time period. So we're going to go to...
Sister Ava?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, now the reason why I just wanted to jump in here, because I wanted to go back to a couple of the points that you made, and I was trying to hold it just to kind of set a context on something. When we were talking about Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, one of the things he stated, and I forgot it was in thinkprogress.org, and he said, So let me be clear. I'm proud to be gay, and I consider being gay among the greatest gifts God has given me. And later in the article it says, indeed, studies have shown that being out at work is good for both the well-being and productivity of gay employees and their colleagues. When employees feel safe to come out, they are more likely to advance in their career and stay with the same company. Likewise, working with openly gay people actually improves the productivity of their coworkers, who can more easily build trust without being distracted by the way someone is hiding their private life. And I say that as we talk about this whole concept of leadership. This is the new leadership that's being presented, that the more you come out with your homosexuality, the better and the productivity and the better lifestyle. So now everybody can be whoever you want to be. So when we talk about leadership, this is the leadership that's been set to guide people into a direction and a way of lifestyle that they prefer people to go into. And you said a profound thing that I don't think people realize is that what determines and what makes you a leader. And when you said that, that's a science to that. So white America knows that a Jesse, a Al Sharpton, they know for themselves that they are not the leadership of young people. So they know the real leadership is in the hip-hop community. So they don't care about buying out Jesse and Al Sharpton. They have them already. Now they need to control this hip-hop community because they are literally not only leading black youth, but they're leading all youth from all around the world. So they know what a true leadership is, and they're trying to turn them just as they are turning all of these other so that they can move the population where they want. So that's why this discussion about the assassination of leadership is going on, because once you assassinate or change the leadership, then you can change the direction of the people and the masses.
That's exactly right. And there is a relentless agenda of destroying Minister Farrakhan's reputation and credibility. They can't touch him.
Nope.
They can't do anything about the power Allah and his Christ have given him. All they can do is come at us.
Right.
And put a wedge between us and him. They can't come against Minister Farrakhan directly any more than they can take the sun out of the sky. They can't stop the sun from generating heat, light, and life, but they can lock you up and keep you from getting sunlight. And that is what this whole Malcolm thing is first of all, making Malcolm posthumously a black leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sure didn't care nothing for him when he was among us.
That's right.
And that includes a lot of these Negroes who are uplifting his name and couldn't have even sat in the same room with him when he was alive.
Scared
to death. And he would have looked at them crazy, okay, if they had. And so now posthumously he's being lifted up as almost like a cartoon caricature of his real self. And what they do when you're dead, they start naming streets after you, your books become bestsellers, because now a period has been put on the end of your life. You can't lead dead.
Right.
That's
right.
One of the ways we know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is alive, because
he's
providing leadership to the leader.
That's right.
You know, dictionary definition of leader is you direct people toward the achievement of a goal. Who is leading us as a people toward achievement of any goal other than Minister Farrakhan? None of these people out here are leading us toward a goal. They are responding to our oppression. Okay, that's what they are doing, and their intention may be the best. But at best, they are reacting. you shoot down our children, and so you go and protest the death. That's not leading us toward a goal.
That's right.
So
that's
this
reaction.
Is what we have to start coming to terms with. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to go to Brother Hoyle is on with a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Hoyle. Welcome.
Well, alaykum salam, and I want to give all the panel a greeting of as-salamu alaykum.
Wow, alaykum salam, sir.
And Brother Terrence, and to the pioneer, Brother Ibrahim. I love that history he was bringing.
Oh,
beautiful,
yes, sir.
History.
All praise due to Allah, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. And I want to add something. It's a beautiful article in this new paper, Sister Ava, Sister Layla. And this is just so powerful of what was said about this is beautiful. This is a paragraph. But this is the whole thing is so powerful. But this might bring a little light to it. But this is powerful. It says the issue is that we love the devil because he gives us nothing. We have been brainwashed into believing that the American dream is real, but it's just an illusion. Now listen, the Declaration of Independence, when it was drafted and signed by the Founding Fathers, didn't have you in mind. We're constantly trying to please the enemy like a child goes out of his way to win his parents' affection. We truly have Stockholm Syndrome. We are cowards, afraid that we'll be put on a farm and asked to milk cows with our bare hands. Some of us have never even seen a farm. We don't know the technology and modern equipment that is available. We're afraid that if we separate, we won't have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or our flat-screen TVs, our fancy automobiles, our stilettos and skinny jeans. We're afraid that we might actually have to do some manual labor, and it scares the hell out of us. Do we fear doing for self, having an education for our children? We might actually have to grow our own healthy chemical steroid antibiotics, free food. Oh, that was so powerful. I thought I had to read it today. But it's like
yes,
we're
sir.
Afraid. And then
yes,
it goes
sir.
Into the next paragraph when it says, and I'm not going to read it, it's just, you know, what the white man said, that we can't afford segregation. So, I mean, this is a powerful article she did, Why Black Folks Are Afraid to Separate. I want to get Brother Ibrahim's take on how were the businesses, you grew up and you were in that time, Brother Ibrahim. How what was the spirit like for the brothers and sisters to start doing for self and owning businesses? What's your take on that?
Oh, I'm very happy that you asked that question, because there is a qualitative difference right now in the year 2014.
Yes, sir.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank Allah for him, right here in Chicago, he set an example. We established a supermart, Your Food, Your
mm-hmm.
Supermart. We had a national clothing factory. We
mm-hmm.
had a national sales and office building that was paid for with cash. And he had ordered the rebuilding of the building of another. He had began to purchase the east side, the 78th and Cottage Grove to 83rd Street, the east side. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was also in the process. He was also in the process of building a hospital, of purchasing land, the South Shore Country Club. He put $1 million cash before the city, and he indicated his desire to build a hospital and a teaching school for doctors and nurses. We had farmland in Michigan. We had farmland in Georgia. We had farmland in Alabama. We had a national truck fleet with the Cadillac truck fleet, Kenilworth trucks. We had transport planes, cargo planes. We had a Learjet, the private jet of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which we were able to raise that money. In less than 40 days, we raised enough money for a Learjet and parts that would actually build another. We were importing millions of Whiting H&G from the shores of Peru. We were selling at a very low price to our people, 29 cents a pound. We had provided employment for not hundreds but thousands of black men and women. Our newspaper, Muhammad Speaks, at its height, was printing and selling and distributing across America and outside of America over 1 million copies per week. And under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, in New York, in Harlem, the Muhammad Speaks newspaper sold 100,000 copies per week. And that's just a few of the accomplishments. Our universities of Islam, we had our schools in over 86 cities across America. We had scholars. Our children were learning Spanish. They were learning Arabic. They were learning French. Our children, as soon as they were potty trained, were permitted to start in school. We didn't have a kindergarten, not a place where children play. We had serious academic achievements and accomplishments. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, from his living room, from his dining room, purchased tens of thousands of acres of farmland that he never set his foot on. We had progressive lamb. We had the largest lamb producers of any black community, and we had our lamb and cattle production. We were selling lamb. We had such a surplus, the largest supermarket chains in Chicago and across the country were purchasing our lamb, our beef, the vegetables that were coming from our land, the canning factories, which we had, outstanding growth and development. We owned a bank, Guaranty Bank and Trust Company. We didn't own part of it. We bought it lock, stock, and barrel.
Crazy, brother.
And how people feel, you never saw such a swagger in the black community. The black community in Chicago and across this country, our chest was just bursting with joy and pride. Our newspaper, the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, was the most progressive publication, not just in the black community, but across this planet. The brothers of the FOI, the men, the military that belong to the Nation of Islam, we went door to door all through the highways and byways with pride, going back to the very sewer that some of us came from. Not all of us, but some. And we went back to reclaim our brothers and sisters, the discipline of the brothers, the respect that the men had for the women, not just the women in the Nation of Islam, but the black woman as a whole. And then let's talk about that woman, the MGT, GCC, the Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization class you've never seen until this day, with the rebuilding of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You never saw such beautiful, such upright, such virtuous black women as you see today. And we had it then, and thank God we've returning back to those glory days. The masthead on the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, it showed black brothers, two brothers, one from the west and one from the east, with their arms extended out to each other. We were actually engaged in international trade and commerce. I mean, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was literally making gods out of black men. He put the true meaning of black power to work. We were controlling the means of production. We had the best farm equipment on our farms. We actually produced surplus. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was feeding a nation. This man, with a third or fourth grade education, he astounded the entire world. That's just from the top of my head, the accomplishments of this great man, a very humble man. I was blessed to sit with him 18 times in my 55 years in the Nation of Islam. And this man was always a humble yet quiet, powerful servant of God. He always asked, "What is it that you desire to do for your nation?"
La Wi-Fi.
Some like it. Two things.
Thanks, Salam.
I hope I didn't go too far.
I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, sir.
I think that you need to let the people know that that progress you were talking about was after 1965.
Oh, absolutely.
1965 was when Malcolm was assassinated.
Yes.
Yet the media tries to say that it was Malcolm who built the nation. But
yes.
What you're talking about, before Malcolm was here, we didn't have any farmland. The farmland was bought, this farm in here in Georgia, was 1966.
Absolutely.
Okay? So progress that was made was after Malcolm was assassinated. So if that was if the Nation of Islam was involved with that, how come they didn't bring us into jail then?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Observation. That was a beautiful, beautiful recitation of the achievements and really what we need to be about right now, because at the core of this whole forum is separation. And what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his chief minister were able to put before us with true committed followers was a model, a microcosm of the hereafter, that this is what life would be like, where we would not have to seek the companionship of white folks,
right,
or nearness to them, as Pharaoh said of himself when he told the enchanters that he would reward them for misleading the people with nearness to himself. And that's one of the big problems with Negro leadership today. They're selling us out so they can be near white people. And what Brother Ibrahim just laid out was a world. That wasn't just a couple of mom-pop businesses he was talking about.
That's right.
This was a world that had been built. But we're being tried now because obviously we were not rooted deeply enough in the spiritual realm, nor did we have a comprehension of who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad truly is. And so now we're facing a trial again, and we are going to have to speed up, as we talk about all the time. We're going to have to move out and move quicker on the time and what must be done. And Brother Ibrahim, I know you inspired me and everybody listening by reminding us. That needs to be said over and over again. This is not a dream that he's talking about.
Right.
This existed, and Sepia Magazine, the sister magazine of Ebony, did a very extensive coverage of the nation with the private jets. And those planes didn't look really much different from the way jets look today. Absolutely past the state of the art in design and in engineering. But we got to get a couple of more callers on. We got Brother Hoyle. No, we already have Brother Hoyle. I'm sorry. We have Brother
yes,
Keith,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Who's been holding for quite some time. Brother Keith, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam to the whole family. I'm so inspired by the brother mentioning that stuff, man. Because I hear that
I'm
a lot
by
some of the pioneers, of brother, because the messenger, he was the head of state or whatever.
That's
but
right.
I want
literally.
This Malcolm X nonsense that the white man try to resurrect all the time. Now, I'm finna hear it from a perspective of a citizen of a nation. Malcolm X committed treason. With his treason, the offense of acting to overthrow one's government or to harm or kill his sovereign, a violation of allegiance to one's sovereign or to one's state, to betrayal of a trust or confidence, breach of faith, treachery. Now, I love Malcolm X. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, watched the movie, and I ran straight to the mosque. Now, speaking from a nation, if one commits treason towards and sovereign in a nation, that state and that nation has every right to do whatever it sees fit towards that one who committed treason. Edward Snowden, the guy who told all this information, this tribe is still looking for him. They still trying to get him. So if we did, in fact, kill Malcolm X, who said, you know, we did wrong or right? That is me. Second, Obama, this fella here. Now, me personally, I think when we vote, we give legitimacy to a fraudulent system. Obama works for the same people who oppresses us, whether he's consciously doing it or unconsciously, willingly or unwillingly. He's still a puppet of the puppet system. So whether it's the Republican Party that takes the Senate or the Democratic Party that takes the system, we're still going to be in the same condition. So all we got to do, separate ourselves the paradigm. You know, Al Sharpton, he can stay with good old boy. Charles Barkley and that nonsense he said, he can stay with good master. He can stay with his good white folks. But those in the liberation community, we got to come together in unity, regardless of ideological lines, and come on a common base that we all want freedom for black people. Now, whether
yes,
we agree
sir.
With him or whatever he says, that's on us. We all got our particular theologies. But at the end of the day, it's about getting free from this no good cracker. That's all.
And we can. That's beautiful, Brother Keith. Thank you so much. And we can discuss our debate our differences when we're in our separate state and or territory.
That's right.
Of our own. That's exactly right. And see, to Brother Keith's point about betrayal, and what I was saying earlier, why we have to continually stay on top of this, because lies are being made to seem true with repetition. And we tend to come out, we defend effectively, and then we go to sleep. We have to stay on this. Because as Brother Keith pointed out, there was betrayal. And the ministers said it this way. Minister Farrakhan said, and they lift his words, he said, you know, if we did kill him, what business is it of yours? Now, that doesn't mean we did. We know they did. But he still, as a true leader, was not going to back up off truth, because these two truths coexist. We can say that because that is true. What business is it of the enemy, what we do? We are not from here. We are not of you. We were kidnapped, held hostage, forced into this horrific institution of slavery. And so at what point did we ever vote or agree to become part of this? Never. Never. We've never been introduced to our true knowledge of self until Master Fadhil Muhammad came here in 1930. We didn't even know who we were. And so
That's right.
You have the nerve to come and question us about anything. And he was telling them, you don't have a right to even pursue this. And, of course, we know the FBI letter that we put up in the mosque when I did the lecture on in the power presentation on the media attack, it's in the FBI letter. They take credit in their own internal memo for his murder.
That's right.
And that's absolutely
correct.
But our
people, that's right. But see, our people don't read or write or think, because they have fallen into this man's culture. Yes, sir.
May I please make a comment?
Yes, sir.
Please, and thank you so much respectfully, Sister Ava. I just must say this before I lose it. See, there has been the most horrific crime against humanity perpetrated against, and it's an ongoing crime. This crime has not had a cessation, the kidnapping of an entire continent, the
right.
rape of a continent, the robbing of a people of their knowledge of their self, of their God, of their language, of their foreways, of their history, the very history. And this Zionist beast, who I will not give one inch to, he says, never, ever forget. They dig and they go into the deepest parts of Brazil, and they find the hidden so-called Nazis, the hidden so-called persons that committed crimes against the Jews, the so-called Jewish
people. That's right.
But they're not Jewish. They have a relentless battle. They have a relentless search. And if they found a man 100 years old
on
a deathbed, they would bring him to what they call justice, and
right.
they would execute him. They
That's
wouldn't
right.
give him life. They would execute him. So now when we talk about the crime against humanity, against the black nation, when we talk about the crime that's been perpetrated against the Native Americans, the smallpox,
right.
the taking them out of their own land, the countless breaking of the treaty, they say those are bygone days. They say, why don't you get over it? Right now,
That's what they
our
say.
Tax dollars are paying reparations to that Zionist state of Israel, that bastard state of Israel. We are paying for it. We are. This country is going into bankruptcy supporting a Zionist government. That is why
That's
it's
right.
so important that we study, that we get the books, the secret relationships between blacks and Jews, so that we will know that we have been robbed and are still being robbed, and that money will not settle this contradiction. Money
That's
alone
right.
will not. Separation is the only solution, and we must have some of this land that we can call our own. We built America up. We built
we sure
Europe
did.
Up. And we should never, ever forget that. And don't let anybody tell you about $500 million worth of dead presidents. That green
right.
paper. No, we want some of this earth, and ultimately we're going to have it. And the only
right.
person that has the solution to our problems and to the whole question of reparations is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his student, Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Thank you. Yes. Say
no,
it. There's
not
more truer words could not be spoken. We have Brother Wait. Double R Terrence calling in. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Wow. Wow. You know,
having
I'm
a
like,
hot time
my
on the old town tonight.
Yeah, listen, Brother Ibrahim, I mean, fully shit. See, this will rebuild and all. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through his feet, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, told me, anytime I'm in the arena or around someone like Brother Ibrahim is telling me, thank you, brother. And I love you because it's because of your sacrifice and what you've done, I'm able to move out on this truth.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir. All praise and peace to Allah. But I want to go quickly because I don't like to take a lot of time. The minister is the time. He's the what must and follow what he's telling us to do. All I want to do is just be a witness there, too. Now, quickly, because I want to go into what Brother Chance was saying about the minister, because I studied Brother Chance, and I know you're going to be here, Brother, our great brother Dave Chappelle. See, everybody should look at that Oprah interview again. See, he told you it made him walk away from his show. He said it was a little pixie and blackface. Huh? The real powerful piece right here. But I want to go to page one of the final call right now, what I talked about 2 weeks ago, Chill the Message. But I didn't know after I had to review the film that they actually reviewed live footage of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the first anniversary of the Million Man March. Can you believe that? They opened the movie around that time, and then they open it up with the first time he entered versus, and guess where we was at? We was in New York City, right in front of the ADL building in the United Nations.
That's
I'm
right.
Talking about Farrakhan.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just want to end on it. Oh, man, listen, in Jamaica, I'm glad our brother, my beautiful twin brother, Brother Terrence, and let me don't forget Brother Dr. Ridley. I am so pleased because I want to go back to what Brother Ibrahim has said, why we don't have the success of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and what he was doing that day because we don't want to work. He said,
amen.
So many for every year, we don't want to work. Yeah, so I wanted to jump on that point quickly.
Gee,
but
I'm glad you
every...
reminded us, yes.
Oh, praise his due to our work. This is a
thank
great
you,
God,
brother.
Man. He came. All praise. Man, Sister Ava, when you came one day and you mentioned, and I'm going to bring this point up, this is how much I love these people and love the people. You love the women. He made the national spokesperson a woman. To show you, because I, in all the arguments in Islam, oh, he is oppressive to women. I said, our national spokesperson, a woman. I mean, she speaks for the nation. Yeah. Anyway, you see our NCCGCC national captain out of Jamaica. Oh, my God. Light a fire, and man. Send the candles to somebody in the mail, please. Because she's burning up the place. I'm done. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah.
Wa alaikum salam. Oh, it's great to be black tonight. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I want to kind of tie some things together here with the
okay,
time
real,
frame.
Okay, real quickly, yeah, because we're down to about 12 minutes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
go ahead.
Know, between 1975 and now, it's about 40 years. And there's been a lot of social engineering being done by the enemy. While we're still dealing with him in the same manner, he has socially engineered us to a position where we don't think we're supposed to work. Working is
that's
to
right.
release us because we have arrived to another state of bourgeoisieism.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we have to analyze the enemy, how he put us where we are, and then go back to understanding the messenger and his teachings and then bring that up to date to pull us out of this condition. Because it's very scientific what the enemy has done over this time period.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because it's unnatural for us to not want to work because that's where the exhilaration, the natural high, the satisfaction that the human being craves for comes from. It comes from being productive. And so, as you said, we've been engineered into feeling... We associate work with slavery. That's number one, because it's not natural to work for someone ahead of you. He said self first, then others. So by reversing that principle and making a false reality for black people, which consists of others first, then self possibly, okay, then now our spirit militates against work, so we have no life satisfaction. So we're very attracted to drugs because the human mind craves moving into an altered state from time to time. And you're supposed to be able to do that naturally with work. And
that's
we don't do nothing. I'm so glad Brother Terrence reminded us of you teaching us that constantly, Dr. Ridgely. The reality is we don't want to work. We want to watch television. Dr. Salam,
yes,
welcome
landed.
To Elevated Places. We're going to go off here without getting you.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, Flight Lieutenant Brother Terrence Muhammad, and Brother Ibrahim. Oh, my brother, you reminded me of so much, and I've heard you speak before. But you're a blessing to the nation, brother.
Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir. You're a pioneer. You know, as to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if he did not have a profound value that nurtures the prophetic liberative prowess that directly addresses freedom, justice, and equality for our people around the world, he wouldn't even be a whisper. But he does that. And God does not take away his man until he is finished with him. Allah is control of our lives. You may be shot with a gun 10 times and still live. But if Allah, if you go, it's Allah who has moved you. But the minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, speaks the mind of his teacher.
Yep.
I've never heard him deviate from that. And Dr. Ava, you mentioned that aspect. He always gives honor and praise to his teacher who taught him and gave him life. He always says that for all of these years. But there's no other black man on earth that the enemy even mentions as a strong leader other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Not even the man that they placed in the White House and rules over, President Barack Hussein Obama. They don't even look at him as a power. It's just this one man. But the real destruction, Brother Ibrahim especially, is the destruction of our black youth. And there are two tools that they're using, homosexuality and guns. Those are the two things. And I will look at these young people now they got these new suit styles. You see this little tight suit they're wearing now?
Oh, yeah.
But the buttons is popping off of because that one button can't hold it, and they got these pink and yellow and lime socks. I caught a brother today going into a store. And I said, brother, I said, you got on a black suit, a blue shirt, a black tie, and some lime green socks and some plastic shoes. I said, where the hell do you think you're going?
Oh, my God.
Look at those shorts, brother. You going to talk to me like that? I said, well, brother, I'm talking to you like that, and if a lady will step away for a minute, I can tell you some more about yourself. But that just really angered me. But that is what our young people and grown men are turning to. Homosexuality and guns, those are the two tools that we got to overcome. I want to thank you, family, for allowing me to say these words. And Brother Ibrahim, I sure pray Allah that I can meet you soon, brother.
Well, brother,
and brother Flight Lieutenant,
Allah that I meet you soon.
Yes, sir. Brother Flight Lieutenant,
yes,
I love you, unseen Masi. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum.
We do a lot of dirt with the white folks in New York.
Yeah, thank you for reminding.
Well, I was about to go to Brother Rahman. I think I lost him. He had been waiting for a while. I'm going to quickly go to Sister Peggy. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Peggy.
Wa-alaykum. Thank you, ma'am. Wa-alaykum salam, family. First, I have a confession to make that I am an openly black female heterosexual black man loving Navy.
Oh, man, you had me holding my breath for a minute.
Card carrying member of the Nation of Islam. And my question to Brother Ibrahim is, am I not correct in believing that it was known that Master Farrad Muhammad's mother was white and that the members of the Nation of Islam were aware of other white Muslims prior to Malcolm making
right.
his pilgrimage to Mecca?
Mecca.
Mecca.
Absolutely. And I'd like to go further with that for these people that claim to know something about Malcolm. And this is a piece of hypocrisy of a man who I loved him when he was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There's absolutely no way, if you read his book, The Autobiography of Malcolm, when Malcolm stated that he had been in and out of the United Nations leading demonstrations against the assassination and murder of Patrice Lumumba. Now understand, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Russia, these countries have white Muslims. So this pilgrimage that Malcolm went on, and all praises due to Allah, may all of us be blessed with that great opportunity. But that was not the eye-opener. Malcolm said he learned that he had been lied to, that he learned for the first time that there were white Muslims, that he ate off the same plate, that he slept on the same blanket. Don't you believe for one second that that man, Malcolm, from the city of New York, the home of the United Nations, where there are governments that at that time, Saudi Arabia, white Muslims, Malcolm was an avid reader and a historian, and it was never kept a secret from Malcolm as well as us. We knew that the mother of Master Farid Muhammad was in fact a Caucasian. We were taught that. We had a picture, a constant picture in our face of Master Farid Muhammad, Allah in the person. So there was never any doubt in Malcolm's mind. And to answer your question, most of us Muslims, the ones that studied, and that's most of us, we knew that there were, in fact, white or Muslims of the what you would call white, Caucasian people. We knew that. It was not a secret. And so the eye-opener that Malcolm claimed, I've been lied to. I've been bamboozled. I've been hoodwinked. No, Malcolm was not. Malcolm knew. Wallace D. Muhammad knew. Wallace D. Muhammad poisoned. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad poisoned, spiritually poisoned Malcolm. And there were others that turned him against his teacher. But envy and jealousy and impatience was the etymology of the fall of Malcolm. Envy, jealousy, and impatience with his teacher. And the influences that the Zionists have, they constantly ask Malcolm, well, brother, Minister Malcolm X, what do you have to say? Well, Malcolm should have known better, and as Minister Farrakhan states today, and as I state today, I know nothing really of myself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad does teach us this and that, and so does Minister Farrakhan. You know, we got to get out of this thing where we don't want to pay honor and respect to our teachers. And that's a trick of the Caucasian. That's a trick of the Zionists.
It sure is. And it brings down punishment from Allah.
Oh, see, absolutely.
What you're talking into is so powerful now, and we're down to 2 minutes, but we couldn't end on a better note than this. That's the warning to us, the respect for our teachers, the leadership that Allah, God himself, he has favored black people.
Oh,
with
absolutely
profound and brilliant leadership, and Caucasian people in their envy and jealousy of us have sought to turn us against our leaders. I sat in the National House at dinner with the minister, with a Jewish rabbi who whined to the minister that this is what the Jewish rabbi said to the minister: we don't have leaders. We don't even have leaders. All of our people think they're leaders. And he said, and we do not have anyone that could possibly compete with a Louis Farrakhan.
Go ahead.
He complained of that. This is favor. That just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, they envied our physical beauty and they envy God's favor upon us. And we better start bowing down and showing gratitude. And I thank you, Brother Ibrahim. That was incredible. I want to thank the panel, Brother Terrence, Dr. Risley. I want to thank Rona, Muhammad, and Lynette Green, because it is packed.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.